Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for joining us and spending a little time talking to yet another amazing person. Tonight's guest is Lisa Barbari, and she does hypnotherapy. And we are going to learn a whole lot from her in a few minutes right after tonight's metaphysical musing. And it seems appropriate to talk about the wonderful man who died this past week, Leonard Nimoy, Dr. Spock from the original Star Trek. And everybody knows who Spock is. I mean, how amazing a life was it that this character that he played decades ago has so much influence on so many people. But the rest of his life was fascinating as well. Most people don't know that he was an amazing photographer and did photographs of women with a very spiritual focus, so to speak. I actually met him. He was in a town nearby for a signing of one of his books of photography. And I met him very briefly. And he has done all kinds of things that come from a place of helping other people and making the world a better place. And Star Trek, most people don't realize how important, how wonderful Star Trek was, at least at the beginning in its time. I mean, the whole, all of the series carried through Roddenberry's vision. But it was a story that was as close to fairy tales as we have ever had in our modern culture, especially American culture. And fairy tales are stories that have a strong moral backbone, that have specific rules and right and wrong. And there's always a lesson. There's always a moral at the end of the story as the parable is unfolded. And Star Trek was like that, but it was also a vision of a future in which everybody was accepted. And at the time, in the 60s, that was profound. So they did things like they had the first black woman on television in a position of authority. Uhura was an officer on the ship. I think she was third in command. That was unheard of. That's absolutely unheard of. There was also the first interracial kiss on television, which had to be contrived, that it was manipulated by whatever they were dealing with from another planet. But still, there it was on television. And they, as they went from one world to another, they accepted every species and figured out how to communicate with them and what their needs were and help them when they could. But they made sure that they never violated the prime directive, which was, if we're here, we shouldn't change anything. Shouldn't hurt anyone, we shouldn't change anything. That doesn't mean you don't defend yourself, but it doesn't mean means you don't go in and do what has happened consistently on planet Earth, which is you go in and colonize, take the people that are there and either kill them or herd them into some small corner out of your way, and then take all the resources. They came up with a totally different vision of the world. And right in the middle of that was Spock, who was the very rational voice, the one who would not understand the jokes because they didn't make sense. But everybody knows his little hand gesture and the expression "live long and prosper." If you've been reading things on the internet in the past week, you'll know what some of us knew for a long time. That gesture is a rabbinical blessing. Leonard Nimoy was a devout Jew, and he tells a story of his childhood where he went to the synagogue and there was this one ceremony in which you're supposed to cover your eyes while a large group of rabbis are up on the bima doing a special ceremony. And of course, he was a little kid, so he opened his eyes and he looked up and they were making that hand gesture. And the prayer they were saying and that hand gesture were intended to invoke the Shekinah. And in Judaism, the Shekinah is the divine feminine. It is the spirit of divine knowledge and divine wisdom in the world. It's the idea behind the Holy Spirit in Christianity. And so he was very amused that immediately after he started doing that hand gesture on Star Trek, people all over the world started doing it. And in effect, they were blessing each other and invoking the divine feminine. It was his little joke on the world and one of the many ways that he was able to have an incredible powerful and positive effect for his entire life. So just honoring Dr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, and as somebody said this week, one to beam up. So as my friends at home would say, you done good. Thank you. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to have some fun with Lisa Bovary. How are you?
I am very well, David. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, how do you describe your work? Because I said you were a hypnotherapist, but I know you're more than that.
Well, hypnotherapy is what I do. It is not who I am. And before I go into that, I would like to say what a beautiful beginning.
Oh, thank
with
you.
Leonard Nimoy and his story and the hand gesture, the feminine portraits. I knew of his pictures and portraits. And I believe, as you said, what is it that I do? Each and every person has a story.
Yes.
And we all can write a book, but so many of us don't because we don't think of ourselves either. I'm not good enough or whatever it is. And the ones who do is not so much for them, but it is to share their story because just like his hand gesture, it has invoked and empowered so many and touched so many lives without many people knowing what it is that they were doing.
Right, right. And I'm sure that gave him a giggle all of his life. Look what I did and you don't even know.
Exactly.
So
well,
we always start by asking.
The thumbs up in different cultures, the thumbs up is a complete different meaning.
Right.
In United States and in America, thumbs up is a very positive thing. In Middle East and everything else is just like the middle finger that we use here.
Right.
So it's good to know and get to know people and their stories. And my
yes.
story began a long time ago.
Which is the perfect segue to hearing your story. How did you wind up doing this?
Well, the hypnotherapy part of it, I started when I was, before I started doing hypnotherapy, I was very much interested in the legal and going into law. And after my divorce, I was practicing as a legal assistant and going to school for paralegal, and that's what my intention was, to become an attorney. Through those years, there was a lot of stress, divorce, and so many other things. And my body was breaking down, and I had already had two ovarian cysts that we had gone in and had surgery. And the first one was 9.2 centimeters, second one was 8.7. So lo and behold, going through all the stress, I was told I have carpal tunnel, my knee was watering, being someone who danced a lot, and I couldn't function. I was sent to an acupuncturist. And on our second session, I'll never forget his name, Ilan Migdali. If he's anywhere in the world energetically, I always bless him for what he did. He gave me a piece of paper and said, do you know that there is a connection with the body and the mind? And if you were to do hypnotherapy, it would help with your ovarian cyst. And my first thing was, what does up there have to do with down there? Really? I mean, right. What does ovarian cyst and hypnotherapy and doing hypnosis? And he said, I have a friend if you would like to go. And I said, no, I already know someone and I will call her. I did within a few days. Four sessions later, I truly discovered it's like doing a mind-body connection and talking to the body, which I have created this method called Heal Talk. And it was through that connection that I discovered why my body was creating my ovarian cyst. And it may not be for everybody, but it worked for me. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I said, okay, I no longer need it. And when I went back to the gynecologist who had scheduled me to go for my third surgery, because it was growing already, and he had already scheduled the surgery, they did an ultrasound. They could not find it and then waited 40 minutes. He stood next to the technician and said, well, I'm going to watch it. It's impossible. He watched it. It wasn't there. He says, it must have burst. And I said, no, I went to hypnosis. He says, oh, I don't believe in hogwash like that. So that was the last time I saw that doctor. And
no doubt.
Truly. Because I had found something that I never knew anything about it. You know, you read Dr. Casey, you read Shirley MacLaine. I had done all that and so many other things, but never experienced it in a healing power. So after that, I didn't need surgery. A few months later, I'm sitting home going through Yellow Pages, which most people nowadays, unless they are in our era, don't know what Yellow Pages, the book, was. And opening it, it just opened on an H. I was looking, and I saw hypnotherapy school, and it was in my hometown. 6:30 at night, Friday night, I called. The master picks up the phone. Half an hour later, I had no money and everything, but Saturday morning, I was in school. A year and a half later, I graduated, left the law firm that I was working as a paralegal assistant to attorney, and never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning. And it's been great.
It's always, you know, I always frame this as walkabout, as you go into an adventure in your life not having any idea why it showed up and what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. And you're guided. You listen to what you need to hear and you say, okay, this is my next step. I don't know why, but I'm going there. So how wonderful. And how long ago was that?
Over 13, 14 years ago.
Wow.
So since then, I have expanded. I went back and got my education, completed it, and went back, got my certification in massage, certification in stress management, working with corporations, and managing stress in the corporate world, since I was in the corporate world, understanding mm-hmm. what it was, because I never needed a carpal tunnel surgery. I didn't need any knee surgery. I do self-hypnosis, and I can have a root canal done. I mean, hypnosis is literally the most incredible mind-body factor of it just like a wire, and having the power within us that we are in control, and yet we are not utilizing it. Mm-hmm. Because it's nothing but self-hypnosis. So it's getting all those certification only to add, just like having the, what was it? Felix the Cat had that little black bag that would open and use all his tools to help. And that's what I have been in search of, in helping my clients find within themselves, because all the answers are within. We just guide them and bring it to surface, and then they just go into the aha moment. Once we have a clarity and understanding, we can either keep it or let it go, and that's it. Make it easy.
So give us an example of the kinds of things that a client would come to you with and what the process is like.
Well, I work more on the clinical aspect of it. So I've got clients who come in, let's say for the weight. Most people know hypnotherapy working with stop smoking and weight loss and insomnia. Those are the three major things, and anxiety. So with fears, phobias, anxieties, a child can come in, because we also work with children, can come in with a fear of darkness. It could be real or unreal. So we do a very fast guided visualization, so they are familiar with the darkness. If there was a fear, we put it in a Sputnik or beam it up in, as Leonard Nimoy would say, beam me up, Scotty, and boom, gone. So we work with visualizations like that with children. With adults, weight. Weight, in my world, people who do the yo-yo and gain and lose and gain, first things is to educate them. Educate them in what, how they speak about themselves and what they hear. Because losing in itself is a loss. Loss in a human being is a very tragic thing. Most of us do not like to lose anything. And when we do lose it, we feel very bad and sad. So we're going to go in search of whatever it is that we lost to bring it back and find it. And if it is weight, then that's what we do. That's why so many people go through the yo-yo factor, which I call it a lot of mental and emotional baggage that they hold on to.
Right.
So, and I'm sure you've heard this, that we say it's not what you weigh, but what's weighing you down.
Oh, I like that. I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's excellent.
it's weighing you down because there's a lot of overwhelm.
Well, it's also like the idea of cleaning out your closets to get more of whatever it is that you don't have, you know, whether it's abundance or whatever it is you're looking for. We hide whatever we're not ready to deal with gets hidden in a dark corner somewhere. And we do the same thing internally that we do externally, which is why cleaning up the house and cleaning out the closets is so powerful. It's a ritual. It's a ceremonial way of doing the internal cleaning. You get rid of the stuff that's outside. The problem is, of course, until you're ready to do that cleaning and open the box and get rid of the stuff that's in the box, you can't do it anyway. So that's where processes like hypnosis are the workaround shortcut to whatever is in the way of letting things go.
Shortcut and direct. It is. It's clarity. It's bringing to surface what we need to see, to hear, to validate, to accept. and then we keep it because we either need it still for whatever reason, or we can now say, thank you, I no longer want it, or I no longer date. Pain is one of the biggest things. Pain is a signal that the body gives us to let us know. It's like knocking on the door and saying, there is a dis-circuit or dis-ease within a part of your body. So when we have that pain, we can either ignore it or we can take care of it. It could be an emotional pain, it could be a physical pain, or a mental pain. So pain is just a signal that the body sends to us. Now, just like anything else, we have to take care of it. And if we ignore it, then it's either going to get worse or it's going to shut us down until we take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is the work that we do. I had another client just a few weeks ago that was here and wrote a beautiful testimonial that I shared. It went on Facebook with frozen shoulder that for months and months had been going to physical therapy, chiropractic with a frozen shoulder, and within 48 hours, it would lock back. Doing the hypnosis, realized what it is that she was holding on to and that was not letting off. In our body, of course, in the Asian system, we have our feminine side and our masculine side that we hold on to and we function with. So the left side being the feminine and her left side being frozen, it has something to do with her feminine energy or female organs. And because it was not an organ and it was just a hand, it's what is it that she's shouldering? Because it's a frozen shoulder. What is it that you are not letting go? And what is it that you're holding on to? Because you took it upon yourself or was given to you.
Mm, I like that, took it upon yourself.
Yeah, because sometimes we take on somebody else's pain to relieve the pain, which is called the transference. And most times is we want to do that for either parents or loved ones, or like a child or someone we care for. We transfer their pain, we take on their load or their pain onto us.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, I had a yoga teacher years and years ago who called them shoulders. It's where you keep all the things you think you should do. Lisa, we're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes. I want to make sure that people know where to find you online. What's your website?
My website is www.healwithin.com. That's healing within.
Heal within, all one word.
Heal within, one word.
Fantastic. We will get back to the whole symbolism and how hypnosis works with all of that stuff, which I'm fascinated with. I think it's amazing work.
My pleasure. And
we'll talk more about what an individual session is like, what people can expect if they work with somebody with your skills. So we need to go to a break, and we will be back shortly. Unless, of course, we get taller. Here, my guest is Lisa Barbari, who is a hypnotist, and we will be back with more on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm home, and I love it, I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's
great. Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Lisa Barbari, who does hypnotherapy. And let's hear more about the kinds of things you can deal with and what a session would be like.
What a session would be like. Well, most clients who come in, they have done a little bit of a search and or have heard about hypnotherapy. They come in. Some are hesitant, others skeptical, and they come in for a gamut of reasons. Stop smoking. I used to be a smoker. I'm no longer a smoker. Smoking is one of the easiest things that I say. It's because of a change of habit and disconnecting the emotional connection with cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I believe most habits are all about that. It's We form habits for a good reason, and that reason is because we have an emotional connection to it. So once we find the emotional connection to it, then we can change it, modify it, edit it, and the easiest way that I explain about our mind and our mind conscious and our subconscious is because consciously we look, listen, and learn, and subconsciously, the subconscious, its position is to store everything that we look, listen, and learn. It brings back or recalls all the information that was stored, and it regulates our entire bodily function, which we don't think about. So everything that is stored in there was stored for a reason, just like a video camera that we hold on and we see everything, captures the audio and the visual, and it is captured and it's stored in the subconscious. So in order for us to change anything, it's like doing a rewind of the film, of the movie, of the video, and we get to the point and that we want. It could be 10 years ago, 20 years ago that started that habit, or the smoking, or the weight, or the insomnia, or the pain. It doesn't matter what it was. Once we find it, we get to that level, to that point, then we can, just like anyone who's doing a editing of a video, stop, edit, cut, and then put the rest together. And what we do is we put the other one into an archive. It's never deleted. It's an archive. But from now on, the video will never have the part that was cut. It's placed somewhere else, but it functions as if it's not even there.
I like that. So I've always heard that it takes 21 days of repeating something the same way to develop a habit. Obviously, you've got a method that can reverse that very quickly.
Not only it can reverse that quickly. Oh, David, I'm so glad you asked about that one. Most people talk about habits being changed and modified 21 days. It is true, but what is it that we are going to change? I have come up with 32 days, and it has to be doing something 32 consecutive days. We cannot do it once a week or twice a week and then say, well, it didn't work. It is us. We didn't work, or we didn't do it the right way, because it, there is no it. As far as the 32 days is because human beings, we function in timeline. A minute, I'll be back in a minute, we'll be back in 30 seconds, we'll be back in an hour, a day, a month, a year, whatever it is. So because we function in timeline, in 1 month, how many days do we have? How many days is the longest month?
31.
So if you wanted to change one habit, it could be anything. You want to use salt versus pepper. Okay? And if you had that habit that you wanted to change, you must do it 32 consecutive days. And if you are successful for 31 days, and you are successful 32 days, which is 1 day extra, where does that put you in the next month? How many more days do you have in the next month?
You have one less day. It would be 30 if it's
either
a 31 day.
One or two less days. So if you are successful on the majority of the time, do you not believe that you will be successful in less of the time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So as human beings, change occurs in two ways. When we are in excruciating pain, or it's no longer good for us, that it's so painful we no longer want to feel that way, or the reward is so great we can't wait to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So our body, our subconscious mind, will never ever do anything to harm us. It's always there for the better, for the wellness, and for the good, or protecting us. Now, if I am successful in doing one thing over and over, consecutively for 32 days, by golly, I'm going to be more successful 20 more 9 days to go than another 31 days. So we build on success.
So how does the addiction aspect of things like tobacco fit into this? Because there's the habit formation, but there's also the physical addiction.
You mean physical withdrawal?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to be very specific in our words because not everything is an addiction. I call
right.
it a withdrawal.
It gets thrown around too much.
Exactly. Because if I say addiction, therefore, and so it is an addiction. If I say it's a withdrawal, then I understand what a withdrawal is. Just like when we work with pregnant women and we do an easy birthing, I make sure that the words that I speak, it is for empowering them or in the positive, that they are having, it's as if having a very severe contraction instead of, oh, you're going to have a lot of pain.
Right.
Pain is something that she doesn't know, and of course she's going to create the worst of it. But she knows what a contraction is, and she knows what a cramp is, because she's been going through it since she was 12 or 13. So when the mind is aware and understands what it is, then it can handle it better. And the same thing with the smoking. There are so many people who pick up cigarettes for a reason. It is either because of peer pressure, or they saw someone doing it and they copied it, or they did it just to feel good or be accepted. It is the reason of what it was picked up. That's the mental and emotional connection to the cigarette. I had a client years and years ago, this elder gentleman. He would come in with his cowboy hat and cowboy shoes. And he came in, usually it does not take more than 3 to 4 sessions, maximum 5 sessions for stop smoking. 5 sessions, 6 sessions, would come in. He'd reduced from 3 packs all the way to 7-8 cigarettes a day. And he said, you know what? And he called me girly. Girly, this isn't working. And I said, then, how about you don't waste your money and you don't waste my time because you really do not want to stop. And I'm saying stop, and I will tell you more about that word. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, you're not ready to stop smoking. And he said, sure I am. Why do you think I'm not here? And he picked up the cigarette, which was in his side pocket, you know. The shirts in the past, they used to have this perfect pocket for either pens or cigarettes. Most shirts don't have that anymore, in case men have not noticed. there is no more. It's not as easy to find a shirt with a side pocket for cigarettes. Anyhow, so he picked it up and he just threw it on the desk and he says, this thing has been with me through 2 of my divorces, my bankruptcy. It's been my buddy. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm glad you called it your buddy. And he just suddenly looked at me and said, is that what it was? And I said, yeah, just your buddy. You were, I mean, full control. Wherever you went, it's been with you through good times and tough times, sad times and happy times. And he looked at me and said, well, I guess that's the end of it. This is not one buddy I want. I've got plenty of good buddies. He left it. 4 years later, sends me a beautiful card saying, I'm still a non-smoker.
Fantastic.
So it's the reasons we create. And I say stop smoking because as human beings, when we say quit, we do not like to be quitters. So by... No matter what you do, how many sessions you come. And if I say you're going to quit smoking, it's been ingrained in us. You're not a quitter. Stop. When we say stop, just like coming to a stop sign, we stop the car. We don't quit the accelerator.
Mm. Great.
So only I do the hypnosis, I educate and help my clients understand the words that works with our subconscious mind. And so they can use empowering words.
So I assume it's a similar process with weight, with any number of other things.
Correct. It may not be as simple for each person, but the formula is the same.
Yeah, I would love to find out what the secret code for weight is for me.
Are you saying you have never been hypnotized? I bet you have. Every time we sit in the car, we go into trance state. Every time you're in front of the computer, you're in trance state.
I do shamanic work. I'm in trance state a lot.
All the time. Exactly. People who go into, someone who goes into a concert, either a rock and roll, and they are just screaming and going up and down, and they are one with the music, they are in a trance state. If they listen to classical music and they close their eyes, they are in a trance state. There is no magic to hypnosis. The difference between meditation and hypnosis is we meditate to go into that place of zen and nothingness. With hypnosis, we do all the work to go within so we can explore and learn and know more instead of the quiet nothingness.
Right. It's interesting. Huh. See, in my work, I'm doing things for others. I'm intervening in some circumstance that they need help with. I don't often think of doing it for myself.
What is it that you need help with?
What do you mean? In general, or...
At this very moment, you brought it up. So there is something that it's within you that it's calling for it, either a need or a want. There is a desire that you need help with. And I don't believe it's a need. I believe it is something that needs to change or for you to discover. And if you're helping others and you have not tapped into it for yourself, and that is the work, because you do it all the time. So I believe that's why I came up with the name of my company. It's to heal within.
Sure.
We have to tap within.
Sure. Yeah. The storyline for my gaining weight is I'm in a major transition, and in this brutal winter, since I work from home, I didn't have to go out, so I didn't go to the gym because it was a pain in the neck. And it's cold, so I ate more. And it's really easy to gain weight when it's cold and you're not moving much. So, time to change that.
You're preserving. You're protecting.
Mm-hmm.
You're shielding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you're shielding your body with food.
Okay.
And the food that you are eating, how is it helping you feel good about yourself?
Oh, mostly this winter. It kept me warm.
The food did? Or the body weight did?
To a great extent, the food did. Okay. Just keeping the metabolism up.
All right.
I'm not saying there isn't a major emotional component to it, but
It may be, it may not be. But that's what the modality, that's the form you chose to shield and protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Women who are, some women, not all, when we do work, because I specialize in women and women's wellness,
mm-hmm.
and women who want to protect their body in a situation of abuse, they start packing on to their weight.
Right.
So they are shielding their body. They are protecting their body, either emotionally or physically. And that is a preserving and protecting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone is overweight and they are not dropping the weight, that means I'm not interested or my body is not appealing. And because if I feel appealing, then you are either going to look at me, you want to touch me, you want to come close to me, and by doing this, I'm shielding, preserving, and protecting myself, so I am feeling repelled. So when
right.
you feel repelled, you're not going to come close to me. That is
right.
a protection. Sometimes the subconscious mind does, without the person understanding what it is that they do.
There are also a lot of people that do psychic work that put on a lot of weight as a way to, in effect, stay physical.
Ground themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, but you wind up with, there's a lot of mediums, a lot of people that do readings who are overweight, and part of it is that's how they ground. That's how they stay physical, because they're out of their body so much.
Okay, so when we do a lot of out-of-body work, in order for us to ground ourselves, isn't it better for us to do root chakra work to ground ourselves?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There are certainly other ways to do it. It's just a very common, it's very common to see that. There's a lot of people that do that work that wind up being heavy.
Mm.
And whether they're conscious of it, whether there are other issues associated with it, who knows? It's just...
it's like an opera singer. When there is a very thin opera singer, you go, where does that voice come from? Because
right.
in our mind, an opera singer is supposed to hold it in their body, in their entire chest and everything. It comes from the deepness.
Yeah,
but
except it doesn't. And when you see the little ones do that, you go, oh, wait a minute. It's not about that.
It's a gift that comes from the vocal, from the gut. It's not
right.
from the weight.
On the other hand, it's got to do with stage presence and how much, you know, space you're taking up on stage and how dramatic you are.
Ah, so. That's exactly what it is. Because weight also is very, what is it? It could be intimidating.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, and bouncers... make use of that.
Sure.
You know, if you get some guy who's 300 pounds and looks like a refrigerator, you're not going to mess with him. There was actually a football player whose nickname was Refrigerator. Refrigerator Perry, I think it was.
Perry.
I'm not much on sports, but I always loved that name.
Well, I am fascinated with people. I am fascinated with our, not only how our mind works, but the habits we form and everything that we do. I've started an event called the 3E, that it is for women to be empowered and inspired in my community in Glendale, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to bring expert speakers, but it is for having a day dedicated to ourselves instead of giving it to someone else, doing all this. And I'm not calling it superficial because I color my hair and I take care of my body, but it is not only take care of the outer part of our body,
right.
but the inner part of our body, the wellness and everything. So instead of paying hundreds and thousands to go to a retreat for a quietness, I have brought a day of dedicating to women and womanhood, celebrating womanhood in our community. And that's why I call it the 3E. E stands, well, the 3E, 3 is my number that I resonate with, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or even mind, body, and emotion. And E is to evoke our passion from within, to embrace our femininity. Every man, woman has that energy within themselves. It's not because we are feminine, but it's the femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And the third E is to evolve and evolve spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it the 3E event. And it's going to be on May 2nd, which I invite all our listeners, if they are anywhere near the Los Angeles area in California, to join us and hundreds of women in a day of celebrating womanhood. We've got Dr. Wendy Walsh from The Doctor Show,
yes, I know,
expert on relationship. She's going to be there, and we've got other speakers. We've got Healing Circle, Drum Circle. It's going to be an absolute amazing day.
Sounds
I wish
wonderful.
You were here.
And people can get the details for that on your website?
On our website at the 2015 3E event. Yeah.
Great. And just to make sure people remember your website, it's
healwithin.com.
Fantastic.
H-E-A-L-W-I-C-H-I-N.
So as usually happens, we're just getting started here on the conversation, but we're running out of time.
Already.
So
are you going to beat me up, Scott?
Stay on it. Stay on after the show, and we'll chat for a little bit. But yeah, we're out of time. So Lisa, thank you so much. This has been great fun, and I learned a lot. I hope all listeners learned a lot, and it's another perspective, and just one that I haven't worked with a whole lot. So every time I hear more, I learn more. It's wonderful.
It has been a pleasure, and bless you and your heart for the work that you do.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you. And perhaps you'll come back and we'll talk about a more specific application so we can continue the conversation. My guest tonight has been Lisa Bobari from Glendale, California, where it's ridiculously warm, who does hypnotherapy. And thank you again so much for being on the show. If by chance you got curious about this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to HouseHealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every means of communication I could think of for you to contact me, including my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment for people of whatever is going on, person, place, situation, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, please go to thefarkasfiles.com. And I also just wanted to mention, we'll talk about it in more detail as time goes on and as it gets closer, but Empower Radio is one man's idea. This was done by Brent Carey to have a platform for positive messages. And it's been done with the help of a school that provides the studio. There's been all kinds of things that have been contributed. Everything needs to be upgraded so we can go to the next level. And we will be talking, I'll tell you more about it next week, about a fundraiser that we're doing to get to replace the 10-year-old computers and some of the other things that have been hobbling along and let us jump to a much higher level of activity and performance than we can do right now. So keep that in the back of your mind. We'll give you more details next week and as we get closer to putting the Indiegogo
fundraiser site up. So I hope you will support us so that this work can continue and expand. This has been so much fun. It's always so much fun. Thank you so much for listening. I know people are listening at different times in different places all over the world, and that's so exciting. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.